Hey y'all, and welcome to And Just Like What? A Sex and the City Rewind podcast.
Where Sex and the City superfans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts. We've got some tea.
Like literal tea.
That's all we have. Oh, did you think we had some rumors to gossip about? No.
Oh, wait. Did you think we
Orange Pico.
No. Yeah, I'm drinking Orange Pico. What are you drinking?
I'm getting teabagged with a real teabag.
It's very good for under eye health, apparently.
Apparently. But like it has to be a caffeinated tea. I'm drinking Aveda tea. You know when you go to the Aveda salon and... I just love the tea experience.
It's very nice. But I feel like in my older age, I really like an Orange Pico.
Like the plain old 100 bags for $5. Yes. Yeah. No, I have to agree with you. I think there's something so good about it. But I think with the Orange Pico, we've lost 50 listeners already. This is not what people have come to hear.
Well, I'll spill some tea about the tea. Orange Pico can be very dehydrating in the wintertime. So be careful because it can constipate you if you drink too much of it.
Really? I thought the opposite. Like the caffeine might keep you going.
You'd think. No? But I think it's something to do with the tannins.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. It's a little puckery. But you drink it with a little bit of sugar and milk? Because I think like Orange Pico, that's the best way to go.
Yeah. I drink it with... Our neighbor is a beekeeper. So I drink it with their honey.
Oh, that's nice.
And sometimes... Local honey. Local honey. Sometimes milk, sometimes just like clear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, but so good, eh?
Just a warm cup of tea.
Both Meredith and I are feeling a little drained, but we have to pick up, you know, we have to manufacture some energy. Isn't that what everyone wants to hear? Oh.
Choice episode.
How was your week? We're on a long weekend. We're kind of recording like a couple of these in advance. Of these episodes in advance, so we have some leeway in the next few weeks. So,
Because we've each taken little holiday breaks, and so Ricky's going to go see Madonna.
Yes, so I'm going to see Madonna in Vancouver. I just saw today that she had fallen in Seattle.
Like so she's fallen and she can't get up.
It's going to happen one of these days where Madonna falls and she will not get up.
She fell on her enormous butt implant.
Oh. I know. Well, that would just cause her to spring right back up onto her feet and just keep on going like nothing happened.
Oh, Madonna.
I think it's going to be really fun. I'm just nervous for her. She seems a little more frail this time around.
You're nervous for her joints.
I'm nervous for her joints. I saw her I guess it would have been 2019 in Los Angeles. And I have to say, high energy, looked amazing. Everything was great. So I'm really crossing my fingers here.
Wow. You saw her 5 years ago.
It was 5 years ago. Yeah. It was 5 years ago. And she was in like a little theater, like a little, like 2,000 to 3,000 person theater.
Intimate.
Like, yeah. Like the Jubilee, like that's what she chose. She wanted it to be kind of like theatrical. And so it's done on a traditional stage and everything. It was so good.
I like that. That's cool.
I like that. I liked it a lot too. So, but this is big. Rogers, like she's packing the houses in because it's a greatest hits tour. So it's good.
I'm excited for you. And where are you going to stay?
I'm staying at like, you know, there's a JW Marriott and a Douglas. It's like at the park by Rogers. Yeah, we're staying there.
But you don't like Vancouver.
You know, I have to say, like, Vancouver, it's hit or miss weather-wise. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get weather-wise.
I mean, your chances are pretty high that you're going to get rain.
You're going to get rain.
You have, like, a 70% chance.
A 70% chance of rain. And I don't know, like, I feel like I never quite get everything that I want from a city in Vancouver. I'd much rather be in... If I'm going for a city experience, I'd rather be in New York. If I'm going for a coastal city experience, I'd rather be in LA. So I'm just wondering all the time why I'm why I'm in Vancouver.
Interesting. So like no Pacific Northwest. Like, what about Seattle or Portland?
Seattle's the worst.
I know, both of them. Portland, as soon as I said that, I
hate Seattle. I'm sorry, anyone from Seattle. I'm sure there's like such nice places and it's so great. But go, if you want to appreciate Vancouver, go to Seattle first and drive to Vancouver. You'll be like, oh, yeah. This is Shangri-La. Like, Vancouver is a city that makes their positioning work, like where they are on the coast, like everything is so beautiful and so great. Like, yeah. I have to give it that.
It's very stunning lush. City. It's very stunning, beautiful. Lush,
gorgeous city.
Yeah. The ocean is beautiful. It's clean.
And they've done it perfectly. Like, the way that the harbor front is and all the marina and everything, it's so beautiful. Seattle, no. I like Portland a lot.
You do?
But I haven't been there. I heard that there's some kind of like problems right now in Portland. I don't know if this is true. Sex and the City fans, please let me know, like, where should I go in the Pacific Northwest?
I mean, the Pacific Northwest, America. It's so beautiful.
I like Victoria.
I like Victoria.
That's a sleepier town.
It's very sleepy. It's a retirement village, basically. But I mean, I like all the islands. Anyways, it is so beautiful.
I agree.
But we lived there for 3 years. And oh my gosh, people are going to be upset about this. But I'm going to say it.
What?
I think Vancouver is pretty soulless.
I know. That's what it is.
It doesn't.
You're walking.
There's nothing
you're
walking sticky. Around,
you're like, it's what like, is it?
Because I think it's so hard to live there that it's a largely transient city unless you're very, very wealthy. And then you have multiple homes around the world anyways. That's the level of wealth of people who live there.
That's the thing. It seems like ultra rich and ultra poor, mm-hmm. for one.
Yeah.
And also you're walking around. This is just so unrelated. But you're walking around and you're like, this seems like it's built for people who don't live here.
Yeah.
All of these great monuments and wonderful areas and everything. It just doesn't seem local.
Yeah.
So, but certain areas are. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, are you going anywhere? Like, in the next little while? I know you were just skiing.
I was just skiing. No, I'm not going anywhere. I might go back up to the mountains. I'm going to have my little pal weekend that we did last time where we had some magic mushroom times.
Oh, did you? Oh, wait. I have so much. Okay, so you had a little bit of a psychedelic, but you're very, very low dose,
very low dose.
You're not seeing like just Smurfs
tip,
or anything,
just
are
the
you?
Tip of the mushroom chocolate.
Yeah, just a little.
yeah.
Just let it melt on your tongue and take
exactly.
it out
and save it for later. that's gonna be a trip.
Okay, I heard you told me that you were at a psychic last week. Can you please tell me about that? Okay. Did you get anything connect? Did anything connect?
Okay, so here's my thing. So I went to this psychic medium. It was for Valentine's Day. So it was like, bring your buddy and it was like a group reading with this medium who I really like. And this is what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I'm positively skeptical. I wouldn't say I'm cynical. The thing that I love about this type of stuff is that I feel like it gives space to talk about loss and grief in a collective way. And I love that. Like, that's real shit to me. And yes, is this medium, are her statements kind of general? And it could be like, that could be maybe anybody. But the thing that matters is that it starts the conversation with these people who've had profound loss, because everybody has.
You're there. Well, everyone has, and you're probably there because you need to grieve more, or you need to have more closure, and you're still going through it.
You're still going through it. And so there's people there who lost their kids or their, you know, spouses, or even people with pets, because that can be really profound.
Do you think it's mostly loss? Do you think it's mostly loss, like, related for psychics? Like, are they trying? I guess it's trying to connect with the dead.
It's connecting with the dead. Loss related. So I think it's grief related. It's loss related, but then it's about connection and ancestral acknowledgement. So there's been studies done about this where they had, it's a really random test, but they did this test where they got people, like students, university students, to talk about their lineages, like where they came from and their families and their grandparents, and like for a really positive, interesting conversation about like where they came from, their ancestors. And then categorically, they took a test afterwards, and categorically, everyone who talked about where they came from, their roots, did better on the test.
Oh, just in general, like a test about something
else. Just a random test. And so it's this idea that when you have a sense of your roots, like a sense of connection, a sense of place, a sense of like even just energetically that you are part of a lineage of people who've loved you and cared for you, and there's a history there.
Oh my goodness.
It creates like a level of like confidence and a sense of like it's a stronger reinforcement of your own sense of self. So do I believe that they're actually talking to, I don't know, but I see like the real world impacts of it, and I really like it. That's my story for you.
That's really nice. I've never done it. I actually, speaking of Vancouver, I did a tarot reading once in Vancouver because I was like walking around and there was a place, a tarot card reading shop.
Yep.
So cute.
On Davie?
Called Good. No, it was in Gastown.
Okay.
And it was called Good Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up near a lake called Good Spirit
mm-hmm.
Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a good sign. And yeah.
It was kind of...
That was good. It was good to get me in the door. Yeah. Actually, it was nice to turn me from like a positive skeptic, yeah. Or what did you say mm-hmm. it was? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like, I was open. I was more open than ever when I went in those doors.
I don't know. That's going to be my answer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I still really like it because I feel like people get to speak things that are really true and real to them and also be heard.
Yeah. Be heard.
That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
That's kind of it.
Yeah. Well, here's a segue. Okay. I'm digging deep. We could have all predicted this for Carrie.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow. So
why
we are Carrie, in it. We are Carrie. In it with the and just like what and just like that knowledge that Carrie ends up with Aiden. And we're watching her systematically destroy
dismantle it. And
yeah.
And obviously like she's not it's not sitting, this affair is affecting her in a big way, in a physical way. Like she keeps like waking up. This is quite a theme. I didn't realize Carrie had so many night sweats and waking up with visions, you know.
She needs to up her melatonin.
Yes. Too much melatonin, I feel, does that for you more than not enough. And so she keeps on having these flashbacks to Big and this hot affair that's done in like kind of like this 9.5 weeks, 8.5. What was it? 9.5 weeks where it's all like black and white.
Yeah, and so sensual. Sweaty.
I don't believe it for a second because it's their relationship was never portrayed that sexually.
Yeah.
But that's how she's remembering it.
And it just, I don't find Big attractive. And I'm like, bleh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's scenes where he's starting to look more attractive to me again.
He is.
A scene in the next, I know I'm getting back to Big because now, okay. He worked really hard and overtime to kind of lure her back,
mm-hmm.
but now she's really in it. She's starting to get really into it. So it's like now Big is more of less of a menacing threat. I think they're both tangoing. So
should I read your...
So we're in All or Nothing.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's episode 10 mm-hmm. of season 3. Can you read the synopsis?
Yeah. So this kind of cuts off strangely, so I'll try to fill it in. Okay. Carrie feels guilty as hell about sleeping with Big behind Aiden's back, but reoffends when he's out of state. When Aiden's out of state. While Big announces he wants to leave his wife for her, she loses Aiden's dog, Pete. Charlotte's engagement bliss withers when Trey's family's standard prenuptial agreement appears. Just after boasting how much better life is without a steady man, Sam experiences it's no fun being single with the flu. That was a stupid plotline. Miranda is very happy with a young new colleague having a one-night nightstand, followed by long-term phone love as he returns to Chicago.
Well, it wasn't a one-night stand. They didn't have sex.
No, until she finds out he's calling multiple people. Yeah. That's it.
The side characters, like our supporting cast, doesn't have much this episode, if you ask me. We start off with Samantha and the gals having this wonderful celebration in her new meatpacking district loft. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about how she can get anything delivered. Everything was delivered in that place, including the DVDs.
She can get DVDs.
Was it Netflix?
Oh my God, that was so funny. I still remember when our friend in university started getting Netflix delivered. He's like, I can get it delivered to my... And we thought it was the weirdest thing. We're like, what? Why? Why?
I don't even understand.
Why wouldn't you go to Blockbuster? It's so fun.
Yeah, it's so fun and it'll be around forever. That's a stalwart of society. it's basically Postmates.
Yeah.
It's basically like this. It's great. It's New York City. The viewers really want to believe that you really can have anything at any time. It's so sexy.
It's so interesting because I got this Bon Appetit issue and it was all about how the evolution of food in America started with overnight delivery. Like the fact that you're able to get like a lobster couriered to your dinner party, like in a wealthy suburb in Idaho, changed how Americans ate.
Because they expected everything anytime they wanted.
Exactly.
Is that what it is? And fast food became a thing.
And
all that type of stuff.
Yeah. And it just got a global taste to the whole country because people are like, well, I can have anything I want at any time. Really, truly. It was a good issue. So I know. So I do really like Samantha's apartment, but isn't her kitchen proportionately large considering she doesn't cook at all? It's just wasted space.
Well, I was also thinking, like, I just don't believe this kitchen. I don't believe you have Le Creuset. I just don't believe it.
Why?
I don't think you've ever cooked once.
Yeah.
I don't believe you. Watching her put away dishes like into the dishwasher and cleaning up was not Samantha.
No.
Like it just didn't seem like it connected.
Yeah.
This kitchen scene. I'm sorry, but if Carrie was to stick around, Samantha would clean up in the morning, first of all, and she would entertain her guest all evening.
She would have someone clean up for her. There's no way she'd be putting...
She'd have help for that night, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of seemed funny. But she doesn't... Is this when she screams out the window like, women can have it all? Yeah. And they're like, fuck you. You wish. Yeah. Is really good. But I love Samantha in the meatpacking district. I like this era for Samantha. And we're starting to see a little bit more for her though, like even as the actress, like this was a pretty fun. Samantha's plot line was pretty funny.
She takes her scenes to the bank.
She goes for it.
Yeah, she's funny. She's a clown.
She's
a
funny.
Total clown.
She's funny. I believed it. I was feeling like I was getting a cold watching her act like that. You know, like I'm like, I'm gonna be sick.
It's so bright, the light on my eyes. So the main thing that happens here is that Carrie tells Sam that she's cheating on Aiden.
Yes. And right in the opening scene. Mm-hmm. And Samantha as the good friend for these scenarios is non-judgmental. She's like, I'm not judging you.
Yeah.
This is whatever.
And she does say that Carrie's a free agent until Aiden says I love you. I don't know.
Should we keep going through Samantha's little plot line? Like, there's really nothing.
Yeah, so her curtain basically falls down, and apparently none of her friends can help her put her curtains back up.
And she needed the curtains up so badly. Like, that was her main mission in life.
Yeah.
When she was obviously had swine flu. Because wasn't that about then?
This is very obviously swine flu. I don't know. Maybe. That's it. And then Samantha, Carrie comes over and she makes Samantha cough syrup and Fanta with ice. That actually,
over ice?
I would drink that when I was, if
you're
sick.
Oh, I would, I hate cough syrup, the taste of cough syrup so much.
You wouldn't do it.
I hate it so much. So I wouldn't do it. But I liked, remember grape flavor Dimetap for kids?
Mm-hmm.
That was good. That was the only one I liked. I could do that. I could do grape flavor Dimetap over... grape Fanta, grape.
Not even soda. Not even as a Slurpee? That's the best.
As a Slurpee, yes.
So That's kind of it for Sam.
So that's kind of
she
it.
She wears a really beautiful red kind of Marilyn Monroe shape dress to Charlotte's engagement party. That's it.
Yes, but I have to say that the styling in this episode is just not doing it for me. The collective look of them in this party. So they do go to this party and they're all dressed like, I might make a meme out of this. Carrie had kind of this like Princess Leia hair.
You didn't like it?
No, they all looked like they were like Jar Jar Binks, Yoda, and like a waitress from that space cafe they go to.
Who was Jar Jar Binks? Which one was Jar Jar Binks?
When I saw Carrie, I thought Jar Jar Binks.
You did?
Less than Leia, but I was like, this is very Star Wars space opera look.
I didn't like her dress, but I liked her Princess Leia hair.
She also had this funny side kind of, you remember like the one shoulder tops were all the rage in this era, but she had one that was like striped with a kind of like a rip applique on it.
That's what she's wearing at the beginning with like sequins. It's not good.
It's not good.
No, it's not good.
It's not good. Okay. Okay, and then, yes, we have, should we go to Trey and Charlotte, maybe?
Yeah, so Charlotte, her big story is that Trey asks her to sign a prenup.
While they're at Bergdorf's.
And shopping for ridiculously expensive china.
$1,300, like Christophe or something. What is that? What is that even?
And then
like
$1,300
china.
She's pouting about. She pouts.
And she goes, I want your nose.
Yeah.
And he's like, relents. And yes, of course, you can have this. So I have to go do a heart surgery at noon or whatever.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's funny. And then they all go to this party, right? And this is where she's all up in arms because she's only worth $500,000 in this prenup, but she thinks she's worth $1 million.
So,
and goes to talk to
Buddy. The prenup is pretty insane. So basically for every 5 years she's married to Trey, she gets $500,000.
No, I think she gets a total of $500,000 and she gets it in 2020. With every 5 years, she gets 20% of that $500,000.
Oh, I thought it
was something. 5 years, she gets 20%.
Okay, because I thought she got that much every 5 years. Or it was over like 40 years.
No, I think it was really bad. And I was like thinking, for someone who's that rich, it just seems like a bad deal.
It is a bad deal.
You know it's going to end in divorce. You just know. Any psychic would have been able to guess that for them.
And then she also gets $100,000 if she has a boy child.
Oh, terrible. Yeah.
So it's bad.
Terrible. And they hardly batted an eye on that. Like, I mean, I would have said to her, you have to reconsider marrying into this family because it sounds like their values are off the charts bad.
Yeah. And this whole episode is about
her.
Toxic
family.
Exactly. She's negotiating her prenup with her mother-in-law. It's like,
this isn't good. You're not setting yourself up for good things here.
Yeah.
Finally, though, she gets it because she kind of threatens Bunny. It's very strange. Like, well, if I called it off, it'd be really embarrassing to this wasp family.
Oh, yeah. It's bad.
And Bunny's like, I get it.
Bunny's like, what do you want, Charlotte? What do you
what
want?
What do you want? Oh, there's a picture of me in the rowing club in the maid's room. I don't get it.
In one of the bedrooms. How? It's so bad. So that's Charlotte.
That's Charlotte. And then Miranda, yes. Actually, while they're out for, aren't they out for like a brunch or something like that? They're out for lunch. This is when Miranda's going over Charlotte's prenup and saying, you know, this just checks out. Like in today's day and age, most people with high net worths really do prenups. And that is true. That's true. But then she noticed this weird diminishing returns clause.
Did you do a prenup? Is that a personal question?
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. We don't. The keywords there are high net worth because.
What were your assets? You came with like your candle drawer.
Yeah, like I didn't even have that. What did I come with? God, nothing. I came like basically unclothed, naked into this relationship with not a thing, not a stitch. So Matt, you know, maybe Matt's regretting it after seeing what my bank accounts were like when we started up. Okay. So Miranda, as they're having this lunch, George?
So Miranda's, the guy she's seen, his name is George. I think he's cute.
Oh, I think he's cute. He's oddly immature, don't you think? Like, he doesn't have this, like, lawyerly look to him.
He looks very boyish. You're right.
Very boyish. But it sounds really nice. They go on a date, hot and heavy. There's obviously great chemistry.
Yep.
Between them. But then he calls her the next day and...
And they have phone sex, which I guess is kind of maybe groundbreaking for this at this time.
I guess.
2000.
I guess so. Phone sex. Yeah. Now it'd be like texting sex, but it's so embarrassing to have phone sex. Have you ever even tried?
No.
It's just, it's so cringy. I mean...
Have you?
Good for... Oh, no, I don't. Maybe. I don't know. Like, maybe like FaceTime kind of something. Like, you know, kind of.
Like showing each other your dicks. Like,
maybe so. Maybe so. And.
You FaceTime and you put googly eyes just on the tip of it and it's like, hello.
I put a really weird filter on it. It's talking.
It's like one of those like shape filters. So it has like a really snatched waist.
That's when Jar Jar Binks comes out. So like, but leave it to Miranda to just fully explore every sexual situation. Yeah. It's like, really love her commitment to the moment. She's in the moment.
She is sweaty. She is into this.
But I love how she's moisturizing those dry, cracked legs. You know, yeah, the type, like, it's so white.
Yep.
And flaky. With a layer of crack. Yep. Yeah. With a flake. with keels, yep. Which I was really happy to see. And I mean, it's kind of dumb. They have a lot of call waiting and they're answering calls. And she finally realizes that he's having phone sex with other people. It seems a little stupid.
Well, like, who is the energy? I don't get it.
Well, it's like, who cares? Like, this is a fantasy. This is, nothing's happening here. This isn't going further,
yeah.
Miranda.
Yeah. It seems like ridiculous for her to be so like, kind of huffy about it.
Yeah, like, you're doing this with full commitment. Like, just be like, oh, that's fun. Can she join in?
Yeah, who's there? Like,
come on.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird. It's silly.
So that was kind of a little silly. That's why I think this episode... Oh, we didn't do the vulture. This is why I think this episode, while it's good, is not top half. I think it's bottom half.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah. Let me see. I think, isn't the vulture list beyond like a paywall?
So,
because I can never find.
So you think it's midway?
Yep.
Ellipses. Ellipses.
I think it's good. I don't think it's excellent.
Interesting.
In the, like, as far as the importance of the oov.
So, wait, what is it? So, okay, so I'm surprised here. So I don't think we talked about it last time either. So the one we just watched, Easy Come, Easy Go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, we already talked about that one. That one was ranked high. That was ranked 13.
Very, very high. That was 13.
So this episode is ranked one above it at 14.
Ah.
But maybe it's because of care. Okay, I think they call these mid-season 3 episodes exquisite. This one includes the classic sequence in which Carrie loses Aiden's dog in the rain when Big comes to tell her. Yes,
I have to say that is an excellent sequence. Yeah. And at the end when he asks that question and she doesn't know what he means, yeah, is excellent.
Aiden later tells her he's suspicious that she's smoking again. The addiction metaphor, mm-hmm, is clear. Charlotte continues her character's evolution by playing hardball with Trey's mother. Over the standard McDougal family prenuptial agreement, which is later will be critical. And for our extra pleasure, Miranda enjoys a phone sex relationship with a colleague from Chicago, and Samantha reconsiders her commitment to singlehood when she gets the flu. You know, I do like these middle season 3 episodes. They are very strong.
Very strong.
Like, as a, if you watch them in a row, they're almost like a movie.
You're right. No, this storyline arc, the affair with Big, is strong.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Because it's all over the same time period, you know?
Yes. Yes. It's a matter of weeks. So
yeah,
we learn next episode that they've been having their affair for only 3 weeks, or today, or this episode. Yeah. I can't remember now, but 3 weeks, right? So it's a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And it is very strong. But what I think the downfall of this episode, if any, is that these secondary characters just don't have enough to work with. It's not quite there as a full package. Again, like, I'd rather have just watched Carrie and Aiden and Big.
Yeah. Yep, fair. Like, they really are side characters. They really are supportive.
They're just side plots. They're kind of like comic relief or, you know, this type of
thing. But I think that was their purpose. I think that was. And this, so this string, episode 9, 10, 11, this, what we've just watched, it is like a mini, it could kind of stand alone, like its own chapter in the Sex and the City universe, because it is like a, it's like a movie.
What a nice thought. I think that's really true. It's like a little trilogy. And then, but I do think the next episode has more for everyone. So I don't even know where that
is. I do like the next episode. I really enjoyed the next episode because
I enjoyed it.
I love when Sex and the City introduces realism. Like when there's actual consequences. When there's, yes, you know, when it, like there, it, it, it when it's, it, I love it when it's playful and funny and melodramatic. But then when it lands, it's like, oof.
Yeah, love that. Really good. Love that. Really good. So, okay, so Carrie.
Carrie.
So she's kind of back with Aiden, right? So she's pretending like this affair didn't happen. Ugh. She's trying to erase it from her brain, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's imprinted on her. Mm-hmm. And which I think is, why does she go to Aiden's place? Was she out and about? I can't remember now. Oh, she was out with the girls, yeah, right?
She's out with the girls.
Oh, she's out with the girl. She comes back to Aiden's place and it's got a blood red interior. It's like a psycho mass murderer decor scheme, right?
I didn't even notice.
It's like a house of horrors.
It's the lighting. It's like 2 a.m.
It's like a lacquered red.
Okay, I didn't. Yes, she does. Yeah. And she's being very kind of clingy and desperate with Aiden that he is going to Pennsylvania to sell a chair. And when she says goodbye to him, didn't morning in New York look amazing? Didn't you want to be on that street?
So amazing. I love everything about that. But I think she was talking like she was so scared for what she needed, his oversight. She needed his guide, like him to be around her and watching over her, because she didn't trust herself.
She doesn't trust herself, and she doesn't actually want to be with Aiden. So she's clinging to this idea of him because she feels like she's a better person with Aiden, when the reality is that she's not a good person. She's a garbage person who's cheating on him. So she's clinging to the idea of him and actually not respecting him as a person.
She's manufacturing that energy. She is like we are today.
Exactly. With our tea. Carrie decides to call Big because she's like, I need to nip this in the bud. And it's so gross how he's in his car and he's like, Jesus, Carrie, how are you? That's what he says.
Oh, he's gross.
And then Big comes over and they have sex again.
I know. One thing that I did appreciate is that when she was bored and she was thinking about Big, she was organizing her
Her shoes.
Yeah. And that was really good. But yes, he comes and like, and they kind of like talk about Aiden, like they're kind of like disrespecting him. He's in her bed that she shares a lot of time with Aiden in, and he's cracking jokes about him. Like he can smell wood chipper and Paco Rabanne.
Yeah.
Which is gross to think about. Have you ever smelled Paco Rabanne? 1 million?
What is that?
It's one of the worst. Go smell it and you'll know. It'll like, you'll know.
No, that's funny.
It's bad. So that's really sad. Like it's just, it's irky. It's creepy. It's gross. I think it's really bad form.
It's bad form. And look, I want to, so I understand that Carrie, I don't, for her to have sex with Big last time, heat of the moment, it wasn't great, but it was like an impulsive, passionate, heightened decision. For her to continue to sleep with him, this is garbage person behavior. Because she has a boyfriend who says, I love you before he goes to when he comes back from Pennsylvania. End your relationship with Aiden. Just,
you know,
end
what,
it.
Carrie, you can break up with him. Yeah. Yes, end it.
End it. Just end
just
it.
Just break up.
Yeah, because
you're an adult. Then, you can do whatever you want.
Then Aiden comes back.
Smoke. You can start smoking again. You can do whatever. Do you think Big gives a shit?
Yeah, no one gives a shit. And then so she says she sleeps in her and Big's sex sheets for 2 days. And then it shows her pulling the sheets off. And she says, and like a junkie, she knows how to handle the evidence.
Oh, my God.
I know. But she's wearing overalls and a red bra. And she looks really cute.
You can be a garbage person, but if you look cute when you're doing it, you get a lot of forgiveness.
Yeah, you get a lot of forgiveness. She looks really cute. But yeah, I just, the fact that she continues this, that's my issue. That's my issue more than anything.
I know. I know. So he comes back and he says he loves her there. Yeah. There and then.
Yeah.
And the whole clause of the cheating thing, I think Miranda said, well, he hasn't. Who said this? He hasn't said he loves me.
That was so all that was well. That was Samantha. She says, yeah, it's.
Oh, Samantha says that, right? Yeah. So he finally does. Oh,
he finally does.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're speaking. She clearly doesn't love him, but they're sleeping together. They have a night of passion.
Yeah.
And big calls. This is so creepy. Yeah. And she's like, Miranda.
Yeah.
It's in her. It's in her. She can lie so fast. Mm-hmm. It's like she had a getaway plan. Because I don't think you could act that fast if you haven't thought that through.
Well, yeah. That's a good point. It's because her behavior is. It is like an addict. The metaphor is apt. And so Big threatens to come up. So she decides to go down with Pete. She doesn't like Pete.
Poor Pete. Poor Pete.
So Pete runs away from her. And then she ends up running around Manhattan in high heels and like a see-through t-shirt in the rain.
And her very dark, hard, big nipples. No wonder this woman doesn't do nude scenes. She doesn't have the little... Do you know what I mean?
You found her. Her areolas off-putting.
Yes.
I didn't even really look at them that much.
Are you sure?
I feel like I flagged. I was like, oh, you can kind of see her the outline of her boob, which I thought, oh, that's kind odd.
Of?
Yeah, because she says she has, although Sarah Jessica Parker, this is part of the trivia, had a no nudity clause in her contract for the series, her breasts are quite clearly visible at the end of the episode when Carrie gets soaked in the rainstorm.
She was probably like, I think she could understand this scene. And if she didn't come in vulnerable, soaked, nipple,
she needed
she needed it, right? So she saw it.
It's one of the tags for IMDb. If you wanted to watch a show with visible nipples, you can watch this.
Yes, because there's no other more visible nipple than this nipple.
And it really disturbed you, hey? Did you feel like the nipples were like a direct attack?
Was surprised. I think that I'm good with any nipple.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely any nipple. But if I were to picture Sarah Jessica Parker Carrie's nipples, they're like, boop. But these were like, boop, my whole, you know?
These were like a Russian grandma nipple?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, this is a nipple play nipple. Like something that can take a lot of biting.
Like an alligator clipped
nipple. Yes. Exactly. So, does she make an analogy to having it all?
That's what Sam does at the beginning. And that's why she's so upset when she realizes she has the flu and like loses her mind that somehow a man is the only person who can fix her curtain rod. Yeah, it's a reach. I don't know. But
it's a reach.
The thing that's hardest about this episode is the final moment when Carrie comes back. Pete is in the apartment and you can see her obviously offensively.
offensive
nipples. And then Aiden says, I know you don't really like Pete, so I know something was weird when you took him for a walk. Yeah. Are you cheating? And in that moment you think, okay, Carrie's gonna tell him. But then Aiden says, you're smoking again, aren't you? And she's like,
takes the bait.
She takes the out.
She could have done it right there. She could have. She's weak.
Why is she stringing Aiden along? She's weak. It's awful. Yeah,
she's weak. And she's doing the wrong thing. Yeah. And this scene was tender and hard nipples. and very emotional. I loved it. And I think that this does elevate this episode, the scene and this climactic end and this chase that they had throughout the city trying to find Pete and the music. It was really beautifully done.
Yeah.
Anything with Carrie in this episode was beautifully done. I don't think any of the actors got the same kind of treatment. So anyway, that was that one.
We're in it.
It's a bummer. Yeah. That was a bummer episode, if you ask me.
Yeah, we are.
I guess they needed the comedy.
Well, and we're in the Aiden, Big, Carrie, Natasha mess. And I think if you and I hadn't watched And Just Like That, we wouldn't have the same feelings. But remember how protective we were of Aiden? We're like, don't hurt Aiden!
It's true. And I just can't, after watching this, I can't believe Aiden came back into her life of his own free will.
Oh, seriously, after you see how...
After this?
Yeah.
This?
Yeah.
It's just wild to me that he would want to, that he was still in love with her like 20 years later.
I agree.
Makes no sense. Yes,
yeah, I 100% agree. Especially when we get to the next episode.
Oh, yes. So, that in mind... well, follow us on social. We're at and just like what pod on Instagram. We usually post once a week. We do post once a week and one story a week. That's always funny.
And please let us know what you think about this arc. Like, do you think that, what do you think about Carrie and this relationship? Is it fair for her to be with Big in this way? Because maybe they do ultimately end up together. Do you think it's wrong? Do you think she could have handled this differently? Like, tell us what you think. We want to know.
What's the is this just the bad mistakes humans make? And it's really realistic. And us putting on like, you're making bad decisions all the time is very unfair.
Yeah.
Cause like people are just innately flawed. Well, until next time, all you flawed folks.
I'm going to take my enormous areolas out of here.
Bye.
Bye.